محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 33 of Surah Al-Haqqah. إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ وَلَا يَخُرُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. Indeed, he had no faith in God, the All Supreme, and he did not encourage feeding the poor. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَهُنَا حَمِيمٌ. So he has no friend here today. وَلَا تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينٌ. Nor any food except pus. Now, you remember we were talking about those whose books are given to them from left. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشَمَالِهِ فَيَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَهْ. To those whose books are given their left, they say, we wish that we didn't have been given our books and we didn't know anything about this accounting. We wished that this was just death and nothing followed. And then why he's like this? Allah said to the angels, خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّوهُ, take him and bound him, chain him. And with that chain, which is 70 cubits that we discussed last time. Now, Allah mentions why this happens to them. First of all, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ. He did not believe in the All Supreme God. Now, some exegetes here say that يُؤْمِنُ doesn't mean just believing that there is a God. It means submitting belief with all its requirements, that you believe in God, you follow Him, you obey Him. This is the meaning of faith, belief. However, well, if someone has real faith in God, all these things would follow. The problem here that Allah says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, is that Allah, who is so supreme, sublime, that anywhere you look, you see his evidence, these people did not believe in him. They chose to believe in the opposite, that, for example, there is no God. You see, you know that believing God or not believing in God, both are faith. It's based on faith. No atheist can say that it is proved that there is no God. There is no such a proof. Now, for the believers, there is huge evidence. For the disbelievers, they say, okay, they make some sort of argument that these things may have come about by itself or something like that. But they cannot say that there is a proof. I have a proof that there is no God. The only proof that they provide is that why don't we see him? And of course, the answer is very clear. You cannot see everything. You cannot see things which are beyond physical realm. The creator of the matter cannot be matter. That's very clear, of course. But you see the wisdom here. Now, despite the evidence of the Adama, of the greatness of God, they did not believe in him. They did not believe in his greatness. They did not believe in the evidence which led to his greatness. So they made a choice, a very conscious decision. Choice, as I said, because you cannot adduce any proof that there is no God. So it's just a choice. It's just a sort of matter of faith. And therefore, here, despite the adama of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they did not believe. And despite all faculties we had installed in them to be able to believe in us, they didn't. This is one. Okay. You may say that people may not care about God. All right, that's fine. But hasn't God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, installed in us other means to have mercy upon each other? Now, if you do not use this sort of quality at all, you have no mercy over others, then it means neither in the realm of faith and consideration and thought you use your faculties and qualities, nor in the realm of practice you use them. Actually, you destroyed everything that God has installed in you. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He did not feel any qualm they did not feel any qualm in themselves about the hunger of the hungry. They didn't care about it. So the first, لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ الْعَظِيمِ, means theoretically, as a matter of theory, as a matter of faith, he did not choose to believe in God. As a matter of practice, he did not choose to help others. So he was self-focused, complete selfishness. Now, this sort of punishment, this sort of very severe punishment that Allah mentions here, is apparently for those who combine these two qualities to each other. Now, I ask you one question. What if someone does not believe in God, but encourages others to feed the poor, does lots of charity? Here it says they receive that punishment because, one, they did not believe in the All Supreme God. Second, they did not urge the feeding of the poor, of the hungry. Now, if one misses one quality, they believe in God, but they do not urge feeding of the poor. Or the other way, they urge the feeding of the poor, but they do not believe in God. What would happen to them? You tell me.
They will have
less other, not this punishment which is mentioned here, certainly. They wouldn't have such a punishment. This is very severe. And this severe punishment is for someone who has absolutely lost all human qualities. Yes?
You say, just like belief in God has levels and disbelief has levels, obviously,
yes.
If you really believe, then you would feed the poor. That goes without saying. You know, so unless you didn't have the means, which obviously means
yes.
That you would not be punished. So maybe somebody believes in a very simple notion of a Lord, but hasn't really submitted to the extent where he feeds the poor. So he may get reward or not as much punishment, depending on his level of belief or disbelief.
Yeah, that's what I said. You see, if someone combines these two qualities, then this severe punishment would come. But if someone has either some of each or has some and doesn't have the other, this severe punishment will not come for them. This is absolute self-centeredness, absolute selfishness. You do not care about God, you do not care about others. So what do you care about? Yourself. That's the only thing that you care about, isn't it? So if you have these two combined together, then of course, if you go to hell, not you, I'm just talking this way. If they go to hell, what will happen? They use the power that have gained in the higher plane of existence to coerce others, to torture others, to do whatever evil they can do. So they should be chained. These people should be chained. Now, and also in the hereafter, they have no friend. فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ. Here they have no friend. Why they have no friend here? You can now imagine people of the hell, I mean those with this sort of severe punishment, they are the loneliest people in the whole creation. Because, first of all, people of the hell never help each other. They never try to help each other. They never have any sort of love for each other, because there is no love there. They never have. So these people have no friends at all. Now, the angels, because if we say, if we somehow divide the creatures there in two categories, those who believe in God and those who do not believe in God. Those who believe in God, angels, good people, well, of course, they do not befriend with such a person. There's no friendship. They're separated. And those people who are the cohorts, they are in hell with them, they are so self-centered, the same thing. So they are enemies. They may show friendliness to each other at the beginning. They may actually host and come together to defeat other cohorts in the hell, for example, or fight against. You know, in the hell, it's all fighting. It's just like this world. It's wars, battles, fighting. It's all like that. إِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَحَقٌ تَخَاصُمُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. It is true that the people of the hell would fight each other, would argue against each other. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَتْ أُمَّةٌ لَعَنَتْ أُخْتَهَا. Every time one group goes in, they curse the others. You are the ones who made us to come here. Or, I mean, you are just junks. We are good. We have come here, you are junks, you have come to hell. And they, all the time, they are fighting. So, there is no friend. The friends who would like to extend love are somewhere else, are with God. Those who are with him, they do not want to extend any friendship. They are like him, they are very selfish. So, فَلَيْسَ لَهُ الْيَوْمَ هَا هُنَا حَمِيمٌ. Not believing God, not helping others, there is no friend. And, you know, the disbelievers in Mecca, they were very deterministic. Jabri, you know. Saying that everything which happens to us is destined for us by the gods, not God. By gods, God of fire, God of health, God of harvest, anything, any god that they had, everything is destined for us. The only thing is that we offer sacrifice to these gods so that they help us in such things. Now, of course, there was a contradiction in what they said. One of the arguments they made, because, you know, right from the beginning, Islam advised to charity greatly, that you have to help others, help the poor, you shouldn't want everything for yourself. Now, the disbelievers of Mecca used to say, as we have in Surah Yasin, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. When they are told that, give charity from what Allah has given you, قالوا أَنُطْئِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ. Do you not say that everything is in the hands of God? So should we feed someone that if God wanted would have fed them? Isn't it? It's God who has destined them to be poor. He could have fed them. He didn't. So why should we? It's all their fault or God's fault. We shouldn't do that. Now, here he says, okay, you say that. You say that if God wanted would have fed them, you have no food here now. In this place, you have no food because the nature of hell is such that it would not give fruition to foods. There are different things mentioned about the food in hell. You know, we need food. Whether in paradise or hell, we need food. And therefore, people in hell should eat food. Now, there are certain things which are mentioned about the food of the people of hell. In Surah Ghashiyah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. Have you heard about the news of that all-encompassing event? Has the news come to you about it? There are certain faces on that day, fearful, broken. And then it comes to the food. لَيْسَ لَهُمْ تَعَامٌ. They have no food but some thorny plants, which is produced in the land in hell. Just nothing but that, thorny fruits. Okay, this is one type of food. For some group of people, they eat that. The other type of fruit is Shajaratu Zakum. You have heard of that. The tree of Zakum. Inna Shajaratu Zakum Ta'amul Athim. The tree of Zakum is the food of the sinners. Inna Shajaratu Zakum Ta'amul Athim. كالمهل يغلي في البطون كغلي الحميم. When they eat it, it starts to ferment and it boils in their bellies, and then they become so hot inside. They need water. There is no water. They go and drink hot water. They do it themselves. ثم إنكم أيها الضالون المكربون, you who go astray and who deny. لَأَكَلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرٍ مِنْ زَقُومٍ, you will eat from the fruit of the tree of Zakum, and you will fill your stomachs with it because you are hungry. فَمَالَوْنَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ, and then you yourself would look for water. There is no water in hell but hot water, hot springs, just like hot springs we have find sometimes in this world. لَأَكَلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرٍ مِنْ زَقُومٍ فَمَالَوْنَ مِنْهَا الْبُطُونَ فَشَارِبُونَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَمِيمِ, you will drink hot water. فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْهِيمِ, like thirsty camels you will drink it. You will drink it like thirsty camels. This is food for another group of people in hell. But these people, no belief in God, no help extended to anyone. وَلَا تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غِسْلِينَ, there is no food for them but pus. What is that? Those people who eat zakum and eat zari, the thorny plant, their bodies start to produce pus. They become injured, something like that. And these people, because they cannot eat from those things, why, we don't know. They eat the pus which comes out of the body of those people or out of their own body. They fight each other, they injure each other, and they eat that. There's nothing else. This is your food now. وَلَا تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ غَسْلِينَ لَا يَأْكُلُهُ إِلَّا الْخَاطِئِ, only the wrongdoers would eat from that. Now, there's a hadith from Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, from the Prophet, peace be upon him, who says, just actually giving us the difference between the two planes of existence. Do not imagine it's like this world. Do not imagine that pus or that injury, that blood, is like what you see in this world. It's not comparable at all. لَوْ أَنَّ دَلْوًا مِنْ غَسْلِينَ, if one bucket of that غَسْلِينَ, which they eat, يُحْرَاقُ فِي الدُّنْيَا, is spilt on this world, لَنْتَنَّ أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا, all the people of this world will become stinky. It's bad smell, stink that it has. That's how it works. Is this something that God has created for them? No. Is this something that they have prepared for themselves? Of course. This is their nature, their selfish nature, showing itself in another way there. So those people who do not believe in God, do not urge feeding of the poor, what will they have? No friend in the hereafter? These are systematic, real things. It's not that God actually takes that and says, yes, you have to go there and you have no friend. No. God's act, you have seen this world, is very systematic. It's all system. It's actually the way you are driven by the nature of things. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ فِي إِمَامٍ مُبِينٍ وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْسَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا, everything is like a book. You open a computer, the computer would tell you, for example, if you want to solve something, would tell you what is there how to the problem is solved, or you want to see something is all there. For example, it's all copied for you or placed there for you. Our acts would drive us towards that. As I say, it's just a systematic way. You are good, systematically you are driven. That book of God, which is just like a huge hard drive of this world, would lead you. Is DNA a book of God? Yes, of course it's a book of God. Allah has put all your special qualities, features in your DNA, isn't it? It's book of God. Everything we have written in the book is a book. Now, when we, of course, leave this world, there is a DNA for our spiritual life, which tells us, which actually make us to develop in that way. Where is God? It's all act of God, of course. It's God who has created your DNA, physical DNA. It's God who has created your spiritual DNA to be developed by yourself. That's how it develops. So you develop into it. Of course, there's mercy of God. There are lots of these things, and we don't know how it works. But we have to be sure. It's all systematic. It's not just case by case, one by one. It's just a systematic thing that drives us towards the end. Shafa'ah. Sometimes we say, intercession, isn't this just, for example, nepotism? Or isn't it just like something that people are not judged by their acts, but by their affiliations? No, it's very systematic. It's not the case that Prophet is standing there, we go one by one, and Prophet says, okay, this one goes to paradise, I do want to do Shafa'ah, this one goes, no. It is a systematic thing. If you have connected yourself with them, you are being taken by them. If you have not, it doesn't happen. So, these things which are mentioned here are just systematic things which would happen. We develop into these things. A selfish person would develop in this way. An altruist person, a person who cares about others, would develop in a different way. The DNA for this development would be different from the DNA, spiritual DNA, from the DNA of a person who develops in a vicious way, for example. Now, the third section of this surah, Allah wants to say that what I am saying is truth. Is truth. Do not underestimate what I say. Fala uqsimu bima tubsiruna wa ma la tubsiru. I swear by what you see and what you do not see. Innahu laqawlu rasulan kareem. This is the speech of a noble messenger. Now, those of you who know Arabic, what is I swear in Arabic? Qasam, is it? Uqsamu. Uqsamu, isn't it? Uqsamu. I swear. Now, what's fala uqsamu? La uqsamu means what? I do not swear, isn't it? So what is this here? فَلَا أُقْسِمُوا بِمَّا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Does it mean I do not swear by what you see and what you do not see? Or it means I swear by what you see? Mean I swear. Now, here, there are three different justifications for why God doesn't say أُقْسِمُوا. He says لَا أُقْسِمُوا. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة. Now, mostly the translation say, I swear by the day of judgment. But literally it means I do not swear by the day of judgment, isn't it? لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. Now, I swear by the blaming soul. I do not swear by the blaming soul. Now, here, Farra is one of the very famous grammarians. He says that this la here is actually refuting what was said before. Fala it is not like what you say. No. I swear by what you see and what you do not see. This is one interpretation. So, فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ means, no, it is not the case the way you think. I swear. So this means I swear. Okay? The other interpretation is that this law, no, this interpretation doesn't work right for some in Surah Qiyamah. It just starts like this, لَا أُقْسِمُ بَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Unless if we say that because people did not believe in the day of judgment, in the resurrection, it starts like this. No, it's not the way you think. I swear by the day of judgment. This word of Farah only works if we take it in this way. The other interpretation is that La here is actually a grammatical tool which emphasizes the swear, the qasam. فَلَا أُقْسَمُ means, no, I emphatically swear. That's another interpretation. The other interpretation is that, yeah, it means I do not swear. Why? Because it is so clear. It's so clear what I say. What this Quran mentions is so clear that I do not need to swear at all. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is the speech of a noble messenger. It's so clear, why should I swear? Now, which one of these are more plausible? If we say that there is no need for qasam, for whatever is in the Quran, for swearing, then of course we have lots of other swears, like for example, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَى. I swear, but there's no law there, okay? I swear, وَالشَّمْسِ وَالضُّحَى. I swear by the sun, and when it rises and comes up. Or for example, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونَ. I swear by the fig and by the olive. So they swear. So saying that this means there is no need for swearing, not very much justified. The best thing are the two others. Either no, it's not how you say I swear, or we say, so the meaning would be I swear. Or we say this la is for emphasis. I emphatically swear. Now, what is the swear here? La fala uqsimu bima tubsirun wama la tubsirun. I swear by whatever you see and whatever you do not see. I mean by everything, isn't it? Because things are divided to things that we see and things that we do not see. Now, why it mentions it in this way, what you see and what you do not see? Meaning that if you are clever, if you are intelligent, you should know that the world cannot be confined in your vision. There are many. Why should we think that anything which is in this world, we have to see it? Our eyes, which is a very limited instrument, has limited capacity. We have to see it. Why? There are many things that we do not see in this world. So God is actually giving us some hints that don't you think that there are things in this world that you cannot see? Or we can say that this world that we see is not the whole, of course, creation. There's angels, other things. So I swear by whatever I have created. Some people say, لا أقسم بما تبصرون وما لا تبصرون means I swear by the creation of by myself, because I cannot be seen and the creation can be seen. This is wrong, of course, because first of all, God would not put himself beside the creation. And secondly, there are many things created that we cannot see. Many things created that we cannot see. So I swear by whatever you see and what you do not see doesn't mean God. It means, of course, many, many things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created and we cannot even our intelligence cannot reach. You know, every day we are finding new, we discover new things in this world we didn't know before about the physical world, now let alone other things. And we are so quick in coming to conclusions, making theories, speculate. The human beings is a speculative animal. We just speculate, you know, about the finding. The other day, they thought that there is oxygen around this comet, which has actually destroyed the whole theories about the beginning of creation of the solar system. But you see, with little evidence, we want to build huge theories. And this is a speculation, of course. This is done. Now, this is about this physical. What about the world behind it? What is behind the scene? So Allah says, think. Think about the creation. What you see is huge, is immense. And you have to know. I mean, it's crystal clear that not everything could be captured by our eyes. So, وَمَا لَا تُبْصَرُ. And things that you do not see. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ. So I swear by what you see, what we not see. And if there are things that you cannot see, don't you ever just give the possibility that this Rasul, this messenger, is connected to somewhere that you do not see? Is there not such a possibility? Of course there is such a possibility. Now, I tell you about this Rasul. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is the speech of a noble messenger, apostle. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is not the speech of a poet. Little is that the faith that you have. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. وَلَا بَقَوْلِ كَاهِنٍ. This is not the speech of a soothsayer. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Little are you, reminder, little admonition you take. Now, in Surah Takbir, we have this إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ mentioned there as well. This is the speech of a noble messenger. But there it refers to Angel Gabriel, Jibreel. It's very clear. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ مَكِينٍ. He's so powerful and has a high status with Allah, the Arsh. مُطَاءٍ ثَمَّ. Around the Arsh, around the throne of God, he's obeyed. Everyone obeys Jibreel. He's the high angel, of course, Gabriel. مُطَاءٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. It's very clear, it's referring to Angel Gabriel. It's not referring to the Prophet. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِالْخُنَّسِ وَالْجَوَارِ الْكُنَّسِ وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا أَسْأَسْ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسْ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This Quran is the speech of a noble messenger. That's Gabriel, Angel Gabriel, okay? Who's powerful, around the Arsh, he's obeyed and all these things. What about here? What do you think here? It says that فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمَا لَا تُبْصِرُونَ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. This is the speech of a noble messenger. It's not the speech of a poet, nor the speech of a soothsayer. Which one you think is a better interpretation here? Now, I stop here. Okay. Inshallah, we continue next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin. Wa sallam Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Latif, khabirun, samir, basirun, jali, raqibun, mujir, ghafur, shakur, قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه صل على محمد صلوا يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Yeah.